Lesson 22, Tempting the Antichrist. This lesson begins on page 157 of your book. This audio text version does not contain the reading of any listed footnotes. Upon completing his baptism, the Bible tells us Jesus went immediately into the wilderness, for 40 days of fasting. The Bible appears to use the number 40, to emphasize spiritual truth. God used 40 days and nights of rain, to drown the earth. Moses went up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and nights, before receiving the law. He returned for another 40 days and nights, to intercede on behalf of the Hebrews, following the incident with the golden calf. Goliath taunted Saul's army for 40 days, before being slain by God's man, David. There are many more instances I could mention. But, I still wish to mention that the Bible, doesn't explicitly assign any special meaning, to the number 40. As such, there's a reason Jesus immediately went into 40 days of fasting, at the very beginning of his ministry. As believers in, and followers of, Jesus Christ, we have no biblical requirement to perform 40 days of fasting. While there are plenty of people, who undertake the effort to fast for 40 days, at some point in their Christian journey, nothing in Scripture mandates we do it. The only other explanation that fits, is here's another prophetic action, Jesus undertook to demonstrate something concerning the Antichrist. Going back to our date from the previous lesson, we find that exactly 40 days from the peace deal on November 26, 2033, is January 4, 2034. The peace treaty serves as the equivalent to Christ's baptism. This is the event which will prove the identity of the Antichrist, and serves as his coming out occasion. After becoming the one man to succeed where many other famous men failed, the Antichrist will immediately begin a worldwide victory tour. The adulation the global community will bestow upon him, will be at the very least, intoxicating. Everywhere he goes, there will be parades given in his honor, celebrations commemorating his noble leadership, and ceremonies celebrating his unique achievement. It will be a heady time for him. So, why is this the situation he will face, rather than beginning a 40-day fast? Great question. We need to examine the life of Jesus a bit closer for the answer. The whole point of the period of fasting, is to create a situation whereby one could be tempted. The word tempted in Matthew, chapter 4, verse 1, is, perasthenai, and means, to try, to tempt, to test. Jesus was fully God, but he was fully human as well. Jesus was indwelt by the Holy Spirit at birth, and so he could not be tempted spiritually. The only way to tempt Jesus, was to come at him from his human side. Fasting 40 days would make anyone physically weak, and extremely hungry. That's the situation Jesus was in, when the devil came to him. The first temptation Satan threw at Jesus, was in the form of a challenge. If you are the Son of God, then command that these stones become bread. Jesus was well aware, that he was the Son of God. But his mission was to serve as a meek and mild servant of the Most High. While hunger is a legitimate bodily desire, Satan was hoping to pervert that quality, by using it to get Jesus to stumble. Turning stones into bread would have accomplished two things: proven that he was the Son of God, and got him something to eat. But that would have been wrong. Jesus replied to Satan's request by quoting Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3, when he said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." God explained that the reason he humbled the Israelites in the wilderness, was to prevent them from believing that by the power and strength of their own hands, was how they created their wealth. Jesus came to earth to perform the will of his Father, God. Jesus refused to veer even one small step away from what God desired of him. To do so, would be to forget it is God alone who gives us the power to make wealth. Forgetting that is akin, to disregarding the covenant God made with us. Satan will likewise, come to the Antichrist to tempt him. But, while his tactics will be the same, the devil will instead attack the Antichrist, coming from the spiritual side. Following 40 days of having praise and admiration heaped upon him, Satan will make the following offer: if you want to become God, I will make it where you will have total control over man's food supply. This is a direct picture of the Hebrews in the desert, where God alone was responsible for bringing manna in the morning, and the quail in the evening. For someone who is accustomed to great wealth, the only true satisfaction remaining is to possess real power. Satan will offer the Antichrist power over the world's commerce system. Satan still has the power to offer the Antichrist control over the world's commerce. This is equivalent to the top line on the master grid, the heart line. This is where we fulfill the desires of our body. Man has a choice: he can do what his sinful side desires, or wait on the Lord to fulfill the godly side. The Antichrist will eliminate all laws and edicts which inhibit sin. Drugs, prostitution, homosexuality, and all manner of vice will be allowed. Instead, he will prohibit anything to do with God or the mention of his name. Preaching will be deemed hate speech. Churches will lose all preferential status. Persecution of Christians will become rampant. And he will make it law: all who fail to worship him by taking his mark will be prohibited from buying and selling. It will be the highest form of control. Next, Satan took Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. Once again, the devil challenged Jesus: if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. This time, Satan quoted from the Bible, as seeming ammunition to support his dare: God will command his angels to catch you, so that you'll not strike your foot against a stone. Satan was once more trying to provoke Jesus into making a mistake. This time, he was hoping to catch Jesus unawares, by intentionally misquoting the Bible. Jesus had made use of a Bible verse to defeat Satan in the first round. Satan had success fooling Eve in the garden by misusing the word of God. Now, he was trying to pull the same stunt with Jesus. In response, Jesus once more quoted the word of God: on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord God to the test. Jesus didn't refute what Satan said, for it was indeed truth. Instead, he attacked Satan's use of temptation to try and thwart the will of God. Just as we are not supposed to create situations whereby God is forced to use his miraculous power to save us, so it is for Jesus, as the servant of God. This second temptation pertains to the eternal security offered by God for all who come to him. This is represented by the second line on the master grid, the security or mind line. Satan is going to similarly tempt the Antichrist. He will offer him: if you want to become God, I will make it where you will have total control over the physical security of mankind. Eternal security is not something Satan can offer. But for those agreeing to take the mark of the beast, their lives can be spared, versus those refusing his mark. Such persons will face beheading by forces loyal to the Antichrist, should they be caught attempting to buy or sell. Now, God does warn all persons on the earth: taking the mark of the beast will mean eternal damnation. David wrote an excellent description in Psalm 91 of the security offered to the followers of God. The Antichrist will attempt to offer a level of physical security for those agreeing to follow him, but he has no ability to guarantee eternal security. He can only offer eternal damnation. Satan had little trouble convincing the Nazis to kill nearly 6 million Jews during the dark days of World War II. Those numbers, as terrible as they were, will seem like a picnic in the park in the coming Great Tribulation. Sadly, there are many people alive today who will face that fate. It could have been avoided were they only to put their faith and trust in Jesus now, rather than wait until the Antichrist forces them to do it. Many of those will choose beheading over eternal damnation. Good for them. But this trial is avoidable. Lesson 22, Questions for Discussion. Question 1, Jesus was tempted by the devil. Is it a sin to be tempted? Explain why or why not. Question 2, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert to fast for 40 days. Why did God do this? Question 3. Explain the significance of Satan asking Jesus to turn stones into bread. Question 4. Satan asked Jesus to throw yourself down. What was he trying to get Jesus to do? Question 5. Why did Jesus quote verses with his answers? When you're ready, you can proceed on to lesson 23, Worshipping Satan. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser to return to the page with the chapter 5 lessons. Then move on to lesson 23, Worshipping Satan. Click on the blue box to hear the lesson with all footnotes read aloud. Click on the green box to hear the version without them. If you're using an audio player along with the thumb drive to listen to the book, it will automatically sequence to the next lesson. If you wish to stop play, just hit pause or stop. As long as you keep the thumb drive in the player, it will remember your place when you resume listening. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for lesson 23, labeled 5.23, Worshipping Satan, to hear the next lesson.